Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session, in which the beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wadood, was explained. The meaning of Al-Wadood means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the loving one. Allah is the loving one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation. Scholars have mentioned, ulama have mentioned, a very important lesson that we need to take from this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from this name, is that one should love another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one should love another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time one should also forgive and pardon one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadood, He is the loving one. And when He is the loving one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves also those who love one another for the pleasure of Allah. And at the same time, they must also pardon and forgive one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something very, very important. Especially in the framework of nikah, of marriage. This is something very important. Unfortunately, individuals may be mature and baligh when they get married, but very immature when it comes to understanding their responsibility or how to actually be a good husband. Or for the women listening at home, for them to be ideal spouses, partners, and a good wife. For this, a lot of effort is needed. A lot of effort. It's not just that the Imam Sahib is in front of you and says, "Why have you accepted this woman in the nikah?" And that person says, "Yes, nikah is done." Once your nikah is done, everything changes. You won't even know, but everything changes immediately. A complete different lifestyle, and a person needs to be ready for that. And this nikah is considered to be very, very sacred. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one hadith has used the word Al-Wadood, Al-Wadood, for describing a very successful marriage. And that is why, as an extension this topic needs to be understood also. That a lot of people out there are pareshan, have great difficulty in managing things. Why? Because if one individual will understand, then the other will not understand. The two need to understand that nikah is not about one person to be comfortable and another person should be in pain. That is not nikah. Nikah means sharing a life in peace, love and harmony. And for both to enjoy life. That is nikah. That is the maqsad. And so this needs to be understood. It's very, very important. Nikah is an act of worship. That is why nikah is performed in the masjid. If nikah was not an act of worship, then it is not jais for this procedure to take place in the house of Allah. It would not be jais. But because nikah is an act of worship, it is jais. And in fact, the proper method and procedure is that you should do nikah in the masjid. So the father is present as a wali on behalf of the girl. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that there are four things that have been the common practice of all the prophets. Every single Nabi did this. It's a common practice. Arba'un min sunanil mursaleen. These are the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Four things you will find with every Nabi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the first thing, al-haya, al-haya, modesty. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were extremely reserved individuals. Very shy, timid. Bashfulness was their main feature. Haya, modesty. Sharm was their covering. They would have a lot of haya. They would have this shyness inside them. And they would look down. This was the main feature of every Nabi, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wat ta'attur." They would all share this love for applying fragrance. Applying fragrance. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam would apply itar. Ta'attur means itar. So they would apply fragrance. That is why it is sunnah that when somebody gives you itar, to use the fragrance, because every Nabi would use itar. So itar is a tradition, it is sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said for oral hygiene, was siwak, they would do miswak. To keep the mouth clean. So they would also do miswak. This is amongst every Nabi that came. And then lastly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that every Nabi would have a relationship with their wives in the sacred bonding of nikah. In the sacred bonding of nikah. They had relationship in a sense that they would have this interaction also with their female counterparts. But this was in the bonding of the sacred amal of nikah. So nikah is the sunnah of every single Nabi that came. This is something we need to understand. And so the Quran has opened up many, many masail for us, many rulings for us, especially the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained to us this golden rule. And this golden rule should be applied all the time. All the time. not just in your interaction with your wife, but your interaction with everybody. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, look and listen to the beautiful words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْقُطْ. When one of you gets angry, when one of you gets angry, then let the other remain silent. Let the other remain silent. So if there's one man who is very angry, or somebody who is angry, then what you do is that you just be quiet. Bas. Let him continue whatever he is saying. You be quiet. Fal yaskut, tum khamosh raho. Why? Because what shaitan does is that shaitan will team up also with the other individuals, and he will whisper in the heart that you see this man is saying and he is so angry, and so you need to retaliate. And when two people retaliate and they continue, then Allahu Akbar, there is a massive fight, everything breaks. So an intelligent person is that person who remains silent, be quiet. These are the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So for my mothers and sisters that are listening at home, if for some reason the husband is angry and he is firing away from all cylinders, firing away, then what should you do? Stay quiet. A very good feature of a human being. Just stay quiet. No problem. And for the brothers that are here, if the wife is firing from all cylinders, then what are we to do? Umar Farooq bolo. Umar Farooq says it, fine. Stay quiet. What are we to do? Stay quiet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all the tawfiq. All the tawfiq. And this is the only way. This is the only way. If a man thinks that, you know what, main to shaan wala hun, you know, I'm a man, you know, I'm not going to take this. I don't take this from anybody. These are signs of takabbur. These are symptoms of pride. What are they? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the greatest human being. And he would stand and listen. Who are we? He would listen. He would listen to people. Allahu Akbar. We have heard of that very famous story of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and I wish not to repeat it. But this man came and he wanted to complain about his wife, that the wife speaks in front of him and shouts at him. And so he decided that let me go to Hazrat Umar, the man with the whip, and so he will sort out the women of Medina Munawwara. So when he got to the house of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he could hear Hazrat Umar's wife was shouting at him. Hazrat Umar's wife was shouting at him. So this man was standing and he couldn't believe his eyes. Allahu Akbar, is this Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an? And so Hazrat Umar knew somebody is outside, so he wanted to go back. And Hazrat Umar opened the door and said, what did you come here for? And he said, forget it. Hazrat Umar looked at him. What did you come here for? Hazrat, you know, I came here to complain about my wife, but I saw here your wife is complaining to you and shouting at you. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and started to laugh and smile. Why? These were pure students of Huzur alayhi salam. These were high level, quality level individuals. This was one side of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, but this was the other side of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And so he said, sometimes she gets angry. And why should I get angry? She looks after me, she gives me food, she washes my clothes, she cleans the house, she will look after my children. She's doing a lot of things for me. So why should I get angry? Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, bhai, calm down. Anger is from shaitan. Anger is from shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, an incident that occurred in Sweden, an incident that occurred in Sweden. The husband had a habit wanting to brush his teeth in the morning on the ground floor in the kitchen sink. In the kitchen sink. So he would have his brush also downstairs where the kitchen is, and that is where. And some women, they love their kitchen and, you know, they want to maintain cleanliness in that part of that in that part of the house. And so the wife said that, why don't you go upstairs in the bathroom? That is where you should do your brush. That's right. Even Umar is saying it's right. But it's not haram also to do downstairs, by there's no fatwa. I don't think any mufti sahab will issue a fatwa. It's only we in this modern world, we have a kitchen, front room, second room. But if you go in many parts of the world, there is no kitchen and there is nothing. People live in a very simple way. People live in a very simple way. So the husband and wife would argue, and Allah had given them everything. Wealth, health, children, love, everything was there. But you won't believe it. The husband gave talaq to the wife because of this one issue, that constantly there was a fight between the two. The wife said, go upstairs, and the husband said, no, I'm paying for the bills, my house, I can do what I want, I'm going to spit here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to spit here. Every time I come upstairs, our caretaker, Yusuf Bhai, he pulls my hand and says, Mauli Sahab, you know, I want to show you something. So he takes me to the wuzu khana. And for the ladies listening at home, it's good you listen also. And so he shows me one section of the wuzu khana where it's all red. Where it is all red. Someone has spat in that section. And he said, I have put every liquid to wash this out, but it's not coming up. And every time I scrub and it's a bit of it is out, again in a few days again, somebody comes and spits there. Allahu Akbar. Allahu, how filthy are we today that even in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know how to maintain. Now, I'm not accusing anybody here, please, you know. This house of Allah belongs to everyone. But Allahu Akbar, the relationship broke because of this only. One small thing, the shaitan came, and the man could not hold his anger, the wife could not hold her anger, and that's it, constantly fighting, everything ends. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ, when one of you gets angry, the other person, فَلْيَسْكُتْ, let him be quiet. Even if it is against him, even if it is very, very difficult, worry not, Allah will reward him. You stay quiet. You stay quiet. Why is it that in the house we get angry, but when we are in our workplace and when the boss says something to us, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, in front of the boss we say, yes sir, yes sir. We don't get angry there, we don't shout there. Subhanallah. So there we control ourselves, here we can't control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His glorious speech, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ, good and evil cannot be equal. Good and evil cannot be equal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Remember, exchange with the evil that is thrown at you. Exchange with the evil that is thrown at you with goodness. Idfa billati hi ahsan. Somebody has done something bad to you, retaliate and return it back with goodness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. Just a few minutes back, between the two of you, there was hatred and animosity. There was hatred and animosity. Allah is saying, Now, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah will change their condition and the hearts will change as if both of you will become bosom friends. Both of you will become bosom friends. That is how Allah will change the condition. If that man has the ikhlas, if that man has the ikhlas, I said this on my Urdu dars, somebody was swearing at Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam, and Hazrat Isa was giving him du'as. So somebody said, Hazrat, look at this man, foul-mouthing, and this is what you give back to him. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, Kullu ina'in yatarashahu bima fihi. Every container can only spill that which is inside it. Every container can spill only that which is inside it. Whatever you put in your container, and then you will spill that out. So his heart, the container, is filthy. So filthy things will come out from him, because the heart is dirty. But my heart is clean, my container is clean, so I have to only spill out things that are good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us that this relationship is a very sacred relationship. And understand that it is the divine decree of Allah, that Allah chose this woman to be in your nikah. And Allah chose for this woman for you to be in her nikah. It is not with you that, oh, you know what, I like this woman, she likes me and this and that. Many a times it does not happen. But this is the divine decree. The divine decree is once nikah is done, khatam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. And now because it is the selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something very important. And to forgive one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also something that we need to learn. Now, as men are in front of me here, what are the qualities that should be in the men folks? And also for the women, inshallah, we can cover that. Understand what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah is al-wadood. And how should we be as individuals, as the men folks who get married and nikah is performed? We have this beautiful example in the seerah and the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to choose a son-in-law, or if you want for your daughter a husband, or for a lady, she is there, she wants to get married and she is looking for the right husband. She is looking for the right husband. So what should she look for? So she has a very beautiful example in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose two individuals for his daughters. Two individuals for his daughters. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. Most beautiful examples are in these two individuals. The selection of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He chose Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he chose Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. What are the features of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an? We would need many months to cover the life of Hazrat Ali. But in a nutshell, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an was that man who was blessed with the heart of a lion, with the heart of a lion that could withstand any difficulty and any pressure. He could withstand any difficulty and any pressure. Physically very, very strong. Physically very, very strong. And also in the mind very, very strong. And we see this during his khilafat. Allahu Akbar. The difficulty that he faced in his khilafat. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Uthman and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, both son-in-laws of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So physically also very powerful, but the main feature of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, a very brave individual and a very intelligent individual, very clever. Remember a few sessions ago we covered one story about mathematics and how Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an sorted out everything in mathematics. He was a mathematician. Extremely intelligent, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana madinatul ilm. I am the city of knowledge. Wa aliyun babuha. And Ali is the door. Imagine that. Imagine how much knowledge Allah must have blessed him. So he was a great scholar, a great alim, a great individual, physically very, very powerful, but at the same time he was a man who could withstand and take on any kind of pressure of life. Any kind of pressure. Very powerful man. So these were the qualities in Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Let's go and look at Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, quite different, very different. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was an incredible man. He was a man who had respect of the community even before Islam. Even before Islam. A man who was a businessman. What was he? Businessman. Highly mature and an incredible businessman. A man noted for business, a great tajir. And so financially, a man who was extremely secure. What was he? Financially, a man who was extremely secure. Now what happens, my respected brothers? When you have a lot of money, generally, Shaitan opens the doors of fitna, sins. You have money, you know, you can do whatever you want. You can go in any part of the world and have your own, you know, dreams of lust and desire fulfilled. You know, you throw money at people and people are there to do whatever you want. This is the world that we live in. Who is there to see you? You travel privately, catch a flight and you're gone, and but you have the wealth. A man who has the wealth can do whatever he wants. So Hazrat Uthman was that man who Allah had given a lot of wealth as business. But at the same time, there was no one more bahaya and more bashful than him. A man who was extremely modest. And when you have a lot of haya inside you, then you don't commit to sins. Then you don't do sins. There is shame in you. There is shame in you. There is modesty in you. There is haya inside you. And so what happens? Allahu Akbar, there is haya and there is also wealth. At the same time also he was a very brave man. But these are the features that a woman needs to look also in a man. So is he a man also well-to-do? Is he a man who will look after? Is he brave? Can he take pressure? Subhanallah, it is so important for him to understand that. These are the qualities that should be in him. Forbearance. Kya? Forbearance. If forbearance is not inside a man, then subhanallah, he can fall. And there can be great chaos in the household. If the husband chokes, then the family goes down. He can't take the pressure. If he can't take the pressure, then it's very, very difficult. And so this man needs to exercise sabr all the time. To exercise patience all the time. So forbearance is the first quality the ulama say should be inside the man. That he knows how to do sabr. If you get married to a husband who has sabr, mashallah, he's a very good man. And then number two, the ulama say this man should not be lazy. This man should not be lazy. He must embrace working and taking on responsibility. This is also his job, the man's job. You'll find a lot of women suffer. When they get married, the man is very lazy. He wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock p.m., when half the day has gone, in winter to nearly three quarters, and there is no work. And he's only making an excuse, oh, I went there, nothing happened, I went there, nothing happened, I went there, nothing happened. And he is on benefits and just relaxed and doing nothing. He is not a good example of his children. There is no good example in him. A husband is that husband who works hard. And the most beautiful example is in the example of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi would provide food for 12 months, 12 months to every wife. To every wife. He would do his duty. But he was given the mission of Nabuwat. He was given the mission of Nabuwat. And look at the lives of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Despite Khilafat, providing. Despite Khilafat, providing. Hard-working individuals. And so this is very important in young children. Young children who get married, they need to understand that we have to provide. That is why in Sharia, it is important that the man gives hadiyah to the wife. Hadiyah, mahar. Why is this mahar given? This mahar is given to remind him that now you can't be in the comfort zone of your parents. You know, my father was looking after me, my mother was looking after me, my family was looking after me. Now it's different. Now when you are prepared to get married, then now Sharia is saying that the first thing you do is you have to give. So this is a reminder that this is your duty. This is your duty. And so these are some of the main features that should be inside the man. Very important. Now for the mothers and sisters that are listening at home also, some features are also very important that they need to understand for a woman to be at that level. The problem is always when husband and wife get married, both of them want to be the Amir of the house. What do they want to be? They want to have power. This is the problem. The wife wants to play the role of the husband. It does not suit her. It does not suit her. She is not designed for that. Allah has not created her for this. That she is running around like a headless chicken, walking, working in the morning, bichari, you know, earning money there, doing this, catching the bus, doing that, school drops there, doing all this. Then she comes in the evening and then she's tired and then she has to cook and do this. And why? What is this? Allah has made the woman a queen. Allah has made the woman a queen. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, understand, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى. If you can sort this out, your life is sorted. Allah is saying that Allah has selected the men folks as قَوَّامُونَ, caretakers. What are they? Caretakers and responsible people for the women. Just like how there is the captain of the ship. There is the captain of the ship. If you don't allow the captain to do his job, the ship will not sail towards safety. So he is the captain of the house. And everybody needs to understand that. The children need to understand that my father is the Amir of the house. What he says, that is it. What he says, that is it. The wife needs to understand. Of course, consultation can come between children, the wife, do mashwara, all that. But the final decision comes from the Amir of the house. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the wife, the pious woman. Allah is saying the pious woman is who? Fasalihat. Who are the salihat, pious women? Qanitat. Qanitat. Qanitat means obedient. What are they? Obedient. They don't find it difficult to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. In fact, it is easy life for them. It is very much easy life for them. So the Amir of the house is who? The men folks. What should be the qualities of a woman? The first thing the ulama have mentioned is modesty. What should be in her? Modesty. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an would say that modesty in men is good, but modesty in women is the best thing. Modesty in men is good, but modesty in women is the best thing. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he said to the companions, I am going to ask you a question, tell me the answer. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put forward a question and he said, who are the best women in this dunya? Who are the best women in this dunya? To this effect he asked the question. And so Sahaba-i Giram ajma'een were asking one another. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, very clever. So what he did is that he came out of the masjid and went to his house, Bibi Fatima. Went to Bibi Fatima. And so he said to Bibi Fatima that Huzur alayhi salam has asked that which woman is the best in this dunya? Which woman is the best in this dunya, and I want to be right in answering him. So they are still doing mashwara. So have you got any opinion, any rai? Can you give me? Bibi Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha said, yes, I know the answer. And she said that the best woman in this dunya is that woman who does not look at the ghair mahrim, at the non-related men folks. She does not look at the ghair mahrim, non-related men folks. And in fact, she does not even allow an opportunity for others to see her. Now some women open the door. They do parda. They open the door. And the whole world can see them as they open the door. But very pious women don't even allow that opportunity. Even that opportunity is not there. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an got very happy. Now this is haya. This is haya. A woman should have that haya in her. So he went in the masjid and said, O Nabi of Allah, I know the answer. And Allah's Nabi said, yes, Ali, this is the right answer. Who gave you the answer? And he says, Bibi Fatima. And Huzur alayhi salam said, Bibi Fatima, she is my sweetheart. She is my sweetheart. Subhanallah. Learn to even love your daughters. And said that she is a portion of my heart. What is she? She is bid'atum minni. She is part of my heart. Only Bibi Fatima can give you that answer. So much haya that was in her. Now mothers and sisters listening at home, and if the brothers can just bear with me for a few more minutes, I know you people are tired. Allah will give you reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you reward. How long does it take for a football match? How many minutes? Half time, how many minutes are there? 45. 45 plus 45? 90 minutes. And everybody is watching football with, hey, don't talk to me, I'm watching football. I can't come, I'm watching football. But this is football of dunya. MashaAllah, listen, something we will take with us. It is always shaitan that is poking and pinning and poking and disturbing us. And you know, really, I don't like people who are in front of me and look at the clock. Then it's better for them not to come and sit. You know, it puts me off. So please, brothers, you know, mashallah, there's a lot of effort that takes place for even one Jumu'ah bayan. And even for one bayan in the evening. You know, it's not just a man just sits here and that's it, talks. There's so much hadith, so much has to be taken out to make sure what has been said is correct in the right way. Because this is Quran, you can't make a mistake. This is a hadith, you can't go wrong. What you say has to be accurate. Absolutely. So everything is there. The Imam is just putting a piece of cake in your mouth. You know. And I remind brothers also, bhai, come to the bayan. I'm not getting any money. Am I getting any money? Bhai, am I going to get extra money if people come? No. It is only for the pleasure of Allah. What is it? Allah is my witness. Only for the pleasure of Allah. It's not anything else. Not name, not fame, nothing. But maybe there is faida. Maybe there is faida. Maybe at least some people can take something. Women listening at home. Now, the second feature inside a woman, that she should be speaking softly. She should speak softly. Softly spoken. Softly spoken. When she speaks, she should speak softly. Very softly. This is a very important feature in a woman. And she should not be a lady who is complaining and shouting and arguing and debating with the husband all the time. And you will find some mothers that are shouting and scolding at the children all the time, unnecessarily. This is also wrong. This is also wrong. And so in the house, you can hear nothing but screaming. What do you hear? Nothing but screaming. Why? What is this? That you hear nothing but screaming in the house. That is why in Surah Luqman, when Luqman alayhi salam is giving nasihat, the Quran says, وَغْدُدْ مِنْ سَوْتِكْ. Lower your voice. Lower your voice. And then Allah says that the most despicable voice to Allah, despicable voice to Allah, is the sound and the voice of a donkey. The voice of a, in أَنْكَرَ الْأَسْوَاتِ لَسَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Allah does not like the voice of a donkey. Allah is saying, don't be like donkeys. Gadhe ki tarah mat bano. Why donkey? From all the animals, the Quran speaks of a donkey. The ulama say, because the donkey can never ever say anything softly. It's always got a very high-pitched voice. Very loud. Whatever, any noise that comes out from a donkey, it's very loud. There is no low tone, low voice. Slow volume nahi. No, there's no low tone to it, volume. It's always like as if it is screaming. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't like be donkeys in the house. Don't start screaming all the time. This is not the sunnah. And then the house loses barakat. A woman should understand this. A man should understand this. Now what happens a lot of the times? Somebody is upstairs and you are screaming from downstairs. What are you doing? Somebody is upstairs and you want to call him and you are screaming from the kitchen. How can you scream when you are in the kitchen and somebody is upstairs? It doesn't work. So the method is that for you to go to that person and speak to him. Go to him, go to the room. Sometimes you will find that the children are too busy on their mobile phone. What are they? Too busy on the mobile phone. And so the father or the mother will say, beta, busy. Beta, son. And then the third, fourth time the father gets very angry. My children need to understand also. That is why in Arabic, the house has been given a name, Maskan. What is it? Maskan. You know, you can live in a 5-star hotel, but after a few weeks, you want to go back home. Why? Maskan means a place of sukoon. A place of sukoon. Now, how will your house be a place of sukoon if nobody contributes towards that? Then there is no sukoon. Then there is no sukoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. There is much can be said. Inshallah, that is enough for now. But the relationship between the husband and wife is very, very important. There are very, very important masail that we need to learn, that we need to educate our young individuals who are now ready to also get married and understand life. This is something very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Brothers, before dua, if we can just do muraqabah, just for a few minutes, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadood, and Allah is the loving one. Let us focus the needle of the heart towards Allah, and let us love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the heart is on the left side, and let us focus and concentrate that the heart is in direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that connection of love has opened up. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem. Ya Allah, humare gharo ko sukoon ki jaga bana de. Allah Kareem, humare gharo ko sukoon ki jaga bana de. Allah Kareem, jis maabaap ko jo pareshani hai, un pareshaniyo ko dur farma. Allah Kareem, humari aulad, humari aankho ki thandak ban jaye. Allah Kareem, in ki shadiyan achhi jaga par ho jaye. Humare bachcho ki nikah munasib jagah ke upar ho jaye. Allah Kareem, sahulat farma, asani farma, Allah Kareem, raham farma, karam farma. Allah Kareem, hum kamzor hai, hum kuch bhi nahi jante. Allah Kareem, teri zaat alim hai. Allah Kareem, tu hamari rahbari farma. Allah Kareem, tu hamari rahbari farma. Allah hamari ghar ki auraton ko nek bana, hamari bachiyon ko nek bana, bachchon ko nek bana. Allah Kareem, hum sab ko nek bana. Allah Kareem, tu humse razi ho ja. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.